Hello everyone, so I now get to tell you more of my responsibilities in life. So I'll be using certain sites to give you ideas on what I'll be doing. So this is North American Mission Board. It's NAMB, NAMB.net. So I'm going to be doing chaplaincy. Now, for those that don't know what chaplaincy means, you hear the word chaplain most, but you will usually never hear the word chaplaincy. Well, you now heard it from me. But basically, a chaplain is it could be a non-religious chaplain or a religious chaplain. You're usually attached to secular institutions such as hospitals, prisons, military units, intelligence agencies, embassies, schools, labor unions, businesses, police departments, fire departments, universities, sports clubs, and for some religious chaplains, private chapels. So I am called to do chaplaincy in hospitals, in prisons, in military units, in intelligence agencies, in embassies, in schools, in labor unions, in businesses, in police departments, in fire departments, universities, in sports clubs, and private chapels. The term chaplaincy refers to the chapel facility or department in which one or more chaplains carry out their role. So this is what I have to do. Okay. So I might repeat myself sometimes, but that's okay. I might reword myself sometimes, but that's okay too. So basically, for example, I am called to do community service chaplaincy, right? Community service chaplains provide insightful and compassionate care, often in collaboration with volunteer agencies. They support individuals, families, businesses, corporations, schools, and groups in the local community in times of crisis. I have to do corporate chaplaincy. From industry headquarters to community settings, corporate chaplains are comforters, pastors, teachers, and counselors. In places where people invest their time and talents, corporate chaplains help them discover how faith or secularity impacts their work, because when people hear the word pastors, here's what I mean in reference to me. Basically, I provide pastoral care, but I'm not placed in any religious role, right? It's like being a pastor without being a pastor. You know how pastors are very one-on-one, and they're into groups too, and they say things, and a lot of people believe that what they're saying is helping them out in their inner lives. Well, I'm doing that, but from a humanist perspective. And humanism, it means it's non-religious by nature. But humanism also has a home in the faith-based world too, because humanism, you can apply it to secular people and faith-based people. Because there is faith-based humanism, there's secular humanism, so humanism has those two elements. So I just wanted to explain that. I'll be doing correctional chaplaincy. Correctional chaplains offer connection and healing to inmates disconnected and invisible from society. Through consistent presence and spiritual counseling, they provide hope, encouragement, and resources to inmates and staff. Well, spiritual counseling for me means I'll be talking to inmates about their heart's posture and what's in their hearts, character, what are their characters all about, So my spiritual counseling would be non-religious in nature. My pastoral care would be non-religious in nature too. I'm called to do disaster relief chaplaincy. Few areas of mission service require greater spiritual sensitivity and a more rapid response to human needs in a disaster. Disaster relief chaplains extend the witness and care of, in my case, faith-based institutions and secular institutions to people whose lives have been unexpectedly interrupted. Spiritual sensitivity means, I call it empathy, so non-religious people can interpret that peacefully. I'm called to do healthcare chaplaincy. Healthcare chaplains extend compassion and care for spiritual, meaning your inner, and emotional health, providing a listening ear and support to patients, their families, and hospital staff. Some faith-based people see me as living out the hands and feet of Jesus in a variety of healthcare settings, and then there'll be secular people who see me as the human personification of compassion in a variety of healthcare settings too. I'll be doing military chaplaincy. Ministering, in my case, is not religious. It means that I am having heart-to-hearts with people, right? And it's non-religious in nature. It says, whether ministering to service members on active duty in the reserves or National Guard, military chaplains experience the same struggles as those they serve. With an internal perspective, military chaplains interact with people of all faiths in a compassionate, gospel-centered way. And I'll also be interacting with people of all secularity in compassionate and compassionate and secular humanism-centered ways too. I'll be doing public safety chaplaincy. Public safety chaplains serve as calm in the storm to first responders and engage the community in times of crisis. From support, encouragement, to counseling resources, the chaplains, when it comes to faith-based communities, extend gospel influence into life and death situations. And these chaplains, when it comes to secular communities, extend altruism influence into life and death situations. So these are all the kinds of chaplaincy I'll be doing. I recognize that now I'm using the Latter-day Saints website to give more information on the types of chaplaincy I'm called to do. So I am called to be a federal chaplain. Federal chaplains serve in a variety of federal organizations, including Border Patrol, Office of Field Operations, Air and Marine, Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, and Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, and others. I'm called to be a chaplain for civic, private, non-governmental organizations. Chaplains for civic, private, non-governmental organizations serve United States Civil, Air Patrol, veterans organizations, various civic organizations, and relief agencies. I have to be a chaplain for private companies, for juvenile detention centers and other treatment facilities, rehabilitation chaplain I'm called to be. So I'll give you, like, Latter-day Saints gives excellent examples of what I'll be doing. So my chaplain, my general chaplaincy responsibilities, so the scope of chaplain ministry for faith-based people will be that. For secular people will be chaplain. Chaplain connection. I think connection is a word that secular people can get down with. It varies depending on the setting and type of chaplaincy. So however, as a chaplain, I'll be having the following responsibilities. So I'll be advising the leaders and staff as a subject matter expert regarding the impact of religious and secular affairs on the organization's operations. I'll be advising the leaders and staff on moral, ethical, cultural, religious, and secular matters. I'll have to do complete spiritual needs assessments and formulate intervention strategies. Spiritual, I don't mean that religiously. I mean, the kind of character qualities that human beings need to coexist peacefully. I'll be providing pastoral care, non-religiously speaking, for me, counseling, guidance, and support in individual and group settings, showing love, compassion, service to those in need. I'll be conducting individual and group crisis intervention. I'll be actively collaborating with medical providers, caregivers, mental health counselors, other chaplains, clergy members, and community faith leaders, and community secular leaders as appropriate. I'll be assisting with death notifications, provide comfort to grieving family members and friends and loved ones. I'll be delivering inspirational and spiritual messages, including at interfaith services and religious/secular coalitions. Now, I'll have to help provide worship services for the faith-based communities. Notice I said strictly only for faith-based communities, because in the human rights world, you can't just talk to one group of people. You gotta talk to everybody. So offer public or private prayers in various settings. I would have to in faith-based humanism communities. In secular communities, I will not be providing worship services in secular communities. I will not be offering public or private prayers in various settings within secular communities. Because it's not being a hypocrite. It's not being one foot in the world, one foot in the church. It's none of that. In the world that of human rights, you have to speak to diverse audiences. That doesn't make one two-faced. It just means that, okay, what I can say the same thing to secular people, to faith-based people, but I word it differently. My tone of voice is different. My examples are different. My illustrations are different, but I'm giving the same message. And it doesn't make me a hypocrite because, as you all know, I have a Christian background. So me speaking in a Christian way to Christians is not hypocritical. I'm speaking a secular way to secular people. I'm speaking a Muslim way to Muslim people. I'm speaking in a Judaism way to Jewish people. I'm saying the same thing. It's just packaged diversely. But people get the exact same message. That's it. And you know, for the last time I'll say this, because you've heard me say it so many times in previous episodes, there's Christian kid me, then there's secular adult me, right? So my Christian kid me comes out to faith-based people. My secular adult me comes out to secular people, but we're saying the same thing. It's just worded in a way that each audience can go, I get you. I understand you. So I'll be conducting ceremonies such as civil marriages, memorial services, and funerals. I'll be conducting suicide awareness and prevention training. I'll be teaching a variety of religious and non-religious education classes and provide resource materials. I'll facilitate additional religious and secular needs with other chaplains or local clergy and just secular communities too. As qualified and authorized, I'll be performing various rituals, ordinances, and blessings of comfort and healing. I'll coordinate So I'll have to help coordinate qualified local. I'll be coordinating qualified religious leaders, clergy members, spiritual advisors, secular leadership, secular communities, and other faith group leaders to perform faith tradition specific ordinances, secular ordinances, faith-based rituals, secular rituals, and spiritual care is necessary. So that's what I'll be doing. So I'll be performing marriages, funerals, memorials, counseling, classes, secular services, worship services, other needs of ministry, other needs of connection. I will facilitate services taking place with authorized personnel. So assisting with sacrament and blessings, as well as assisting with secular events and secular functions, I'll be doing that too. I feel that this is what I'm really called to do. So as you know, I'll be an education chaplain. I'll be working within setting of colleges, universities, or private schools, or public schools, or religious schools, or secular schools. I just wanted to say that because sometimes in the podcast, I want to make sure I said it. Okay, I have. So, I've said this before, but I'm going to say this one last time. I also have to be a humanist celebrant. A humanist celebrant plays a role similar to that of a traditional clergy person, with one difference. Humanist ceremonies express our positive, non-theistic philosophy of humanism instead of traditional faith. Humanist celebrants conduct humanist, non-religious, interreligious weddings, commitments, /same-sex unions, memorials, baby namings, and other life cycle ceremonies. Celebrants are generally recognized in all states and many countries, being accorded the same rights and privileges granted by laws to priests, ministers, and rabbis of traditional theistic religions. And you know what else? I also have to do theistic philosophy of traditional faith when it comes to being a celebrant. So I have to do humanist celebrancy. I also have to do faith-based celebrancy as well. And that's what I've been called to do because there are people in the faith-based world who appreciate me. And then there's people in the secular world who appreciate me. So when both communities appreciate you, that means I have to be a celebrant and a chaplain in both communities. So I guess you can call me an interfaith humanist chaplain, meaning that I do more than one faith, and I'm in the secular world too. So that's, I have it beautiful that way. Okay, so try and make sure that, I have to be a police chaplain. This is really simple. Law enforcement or police chaplains work with and as a part of local, regional, county, state, and national federal law enforcement and provide a variety of services within the law enforcement community. They should not be confused with prison chaplains, even though I'm going to be one, whose primary ministry is to those who are incarcerated, either awaiting trial after conviction. The role of the law enforcement chaplain deals primarily with law enforcement personnel and agencies. The chaplain responds to those unique needs and challenges with religious guidance, for the faith-based community, secular guidance to the secular community, reassuring and trustworthy presence, resources, and counseling services. The law enforcement chaplain offers support to law enforcement officers, administrators, support staff, victims, and their families, occasionally even the families of accused or convicted offenders. Law enforcement chaplaincy is a ministry of presence and must have the proper training if they're working with law enforcement officers. Most chaplains are uniform and some may have a rank that always wear distinguishing insignia or markings to note their chaplain rather than lawman status. So I'm going to be a law enforcement police chaplain. I'm going to be an industrial chaplain. I have to be a fire department police chaplain. Chaplains working with fire departments provide the same kind of support as the chaplains working with law enforcement agencies and sometimes face even greater danger working with the wounded in often very dangerous surroundings. So that's going to be me. I'm going to be a fire department chaplain. I'm going to be a labor workforce chaplain. Many workplace chaplains, commonly called industrial chaplains, are sponsored by labor unions, including in some cases chaplains for police and firefighters. Union chaplains, I'm going to be one, are often viewed as advantageous as they are accountable to the employees and not corporate management. So I'm going to be a port chaplain. In many ports, particularly North America and Europe, there are chaplain organizations providing religious and welfare services, secular services, to seafarers while they are in port. It typically takes the form of going aboard ships to talk with seafarers, maintaining centers near the ports with chapel space, relaxation, internet, providing transportation to seafarers on shore leave. Okay. So I'm going to be a music chaplain. Some chaplains use live music as a therapeutic tool. Music can aid in healing, access core faith and emotions, access core secularity and emotions, help to build rapport in the chaplaincy relationship. So I get to be a royalty nobility chaplain. Monarchs have held private religious services as a long-standing right, along with the privilege of appointing their own chaplains to serve them and their families. That would be me. Parliamentary chaplain. Basically, pastoral counseling, congressional members, their staff, and their families coordinate the scheduling of guest chaplains who offer opening prayers, arrange and sometimes conduct marriages, memorial services, and funeral services for Congress staff and their families, and conduct or coordinate religious services, study groups, prayer meetings, holiday programs, religious education programs as well. So the faith-based world would be like, hey, Antonio, your Christian background? Yeah, you know, you get to be a parliamentary chaplain. Mm-hmm. Which means that I also get to be a secular chaplain to, because some members of Congress are not faith-based. You have secular Democrats too. Most Democrats are faith-based, but there are some that are secular Democrats. So I get to be a chaplain for them too. I get to speak to them non-religiously, help them heal non-religiously. So, I'm called to do a lot. I get to be a sports chaplain. Providing spiritual support and guidance to the players, give them the ability to empathize, relate to some of the challenges faced, the participants with whom I am speaking with. So I get to do sports chaplain work. Oh my. Wow, I get to be environmental chaplain. Environmental chaplaincy is an emerging field within chaplaincy. Environmental chaplains, also known as eco chaplains, earth chaplains, nature chaplains, provide spiritual care in a way that honors humanity's deep connection to the earth. Environmental chaplains hold many roles. They may support people working on the front line of issues like climate change or the environmental issues, or they may support people impacted by industrial or other disasters by providing pastoral care, presence, and rituals. Environmental chaplains may also bear witness to the earth itself and represent the emerging of science and spirituality. Their role could be to usher in a new conscience and consciousness to find contentment, the appreciation of inner riches over outer wealth, quality over quantity, using universally appreciated values such as honesty and vision. So I get to be an environmental chaplain. There may be some colonial chaplains out there. Not, you know, colonies are not as prominent as they were, but I get to be a colonial chaplain. I get to be a veterinary chaplain. Veterinary chaplains serve people and their animals, ministering with regards to the spirituality associated with animals and their connections with humans. A major function is group support and prayer. Other services include hospice support while animals are cared for near the end of their lives. Support in animal health crises, including at the veterinary hospital, conducting services for animal blessings, naming/adopting ceremonies, and end-of-life celebration ceremonies. Veterinary chaplains also offer sermons and spiritual guidance on the human/animal bond and our responsibilities toward animals, and some may visit nursing homes and hospitals with therapeutic animal assistance. Other veterinary chaplains may provide blessings for animal care workers, assist with human/animal communication, and offer alternative healing for animals such as animal reiki or acupuncture. Wow, I've been called to do so much. So I get to be many hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, hospices may employ chaplains to assist with the spiritual, religious, secular, and emotional needs of patients, families, and staff. Oh, man. I get to be a healthcare chaplain. Whew. Oh my God, I have so much work to do. I get to be a cruise chaplain. Working on board cruise ships, cruise chaplains provide pastoral, spiritual, and secular support to both passengers and crew members. With the cooperation of cruise companies, chaplains normally stay on board for the specific duration of a cruise. I have to focus on the welfare of the crew, who can often spend many months at sea away from home. Ooh, I've been called to do this, and I have to minister to the passengers. Ooh, wow. You know, life keeps demanding me for more. Ooh. I get to be a domestic chaplain. A domestic chaplain is a chaplain attached to a noble household in order to grant the family a degree of self-sufficiency in religion. The chaplain was freed from any obligation to reside in a particular place, so could travel with the family internationally if necessary and minister to their spiritual needs. Further, the family could appoint a chaplain who reflected on doctrinal views. Domestic chaplains performed family christenings, funerals, and weddings, and were able to conduct services in the family's private chapel, excusing the nobility from attending public worship. Wow, I'm called to be a domestic chaplain. What chaplaincy have I not been called to do is the question. Wow, so I have other chaplaincy work. This is... There are also chaplains at private clubs, television, radio stations, family, community teams, groups such as Boys and Girls Brigade, companies and scout troops, airports, cruise ships, nightclubs, theaters. I have to be a chaplain to all these environments. Wow. Oh my God. Yes. Wow. What is a humanist chaplain? A humanist chaplain provides pastoral care based on humanist principles. A humanist chaplain gives it information, advice, and consultation about existential questions. Oh my. And I have duties that are very similar to members of Congress. That means that I have to meet in the states or districts with constituents, local officials, business leaders, and other stakeholders, oversee constituent services, travel from their states or districts, Washington, D.C., to participate in committee legislative oversight or investigative activities, greet local delegations from their home states, meet with other groups and advocates, supervise office staff, speak on the floor, interact with the news media, attending various electoral duties, including fundraising, planning, campaigning for election in Washington, D.C., their states or districts, or elsewhere. In other words, I have to build relationships with members of Congress. I'll be assisting them with representation, legislation, constituency service, oversight and investigation, advice and consent for senators only, congressional leadership, personal office management, and electoral activities. So I have to do the roles of politicians. I have a politician part of who I am, so I have to do that. And I have to do a lot of healing, speaking, teaching, and preaching. Which means that because of my celebrancy work and chaplaincy work, there are times where I have to attend churches, mosques, plural, synagogues, centers, and monasteries. There are times where I have to attend houses of worship when it comes to their worship services, their religious text study classes, their Sabbath school classes, their congregational meetings, their afternoon events, anniversary celebrations, their international and national missions trips, their and their local events too. So I'll give you an example of what I have to do. So actually, I'll give you two examples. I'll start with one. I will be paying hospital visits after every surgery, attending every ball game, officiating every funeral, sitting on every committee meeting, accept every invitation to come over for dinner, participate in every work day at the houses of worship, and respond to every counseling request. So I gotta do those. The ones that I can, you know, the adequate care, I can do these things. I won't burn out. Rest, boundaries, and margin, absolutely self-care, but Those are some, I am called to be involved in the lives of the entire world. The entire world is my congregation, so I have to well juggle my own schedule with the hectic schedules of the entire world. Lastly, I also am called to attend back-to-back meetings, keeping myriad appointments, fulfilling speaking engagements, overseeing film and music productions, traveling over through various time zones, writing books, counseling others, running mega entities, and every week I have to do inspirational, motivational speaking as well. So that's what I have a lot of work that I have to do. I have plenty of downtime though. So I'm also going to be doing kinds of celebrants. So I'm going to be a wedding and funeral celebrant. Those who do not follow a religious, spiritual alternative, or other lifestyle tend to refer to themselves as a wedding and / funeral celebrant. Okay. So for starters, I'm going to be a civil celebrant. Not to be confused with the ability to perform legal marriages, as is sometimes incorrectly thought. Some celebrants who create weddings, funerals, life events, ceremonies self-categorize as a civil celebrant. So I'm going to be a wedding celebrant, funeral celebrant, and civil celebrant. I'm going to be a humanist celebrant. Non-religious celebrants who believe this life is the only life they will have. Humanist celebrants are mainly members of Humanist UK, and they create ceremonies for life events without any religion. So I get to be a humanist celebrant to the humanist community. I get to be a spiritual celebrant. Celebrants who specialize in the creation of and delivery of ceremonies with spiritual nature inclusive content. Religion can be included if acquired by those of ceremonious force. I get to be a spiritual celebrant. I get to be a pagan celebrant. There are many branches on the collectively referred to tree that is paganism. Norse and Wicca are two of the most widely associated pagan followings. Pagan celebrants create rituals within their own ceremonies, and true pagan celebrants follow spiritual, shamanic, Celtic nature, will of the year, spiritual path. So I get to be a pagan celebrant. Now, of course, the faith-based community will be like, well, I'll be a religious celebrant without being hyper-religious, if you want to call it that, because remember, I can deliver the same message to different audiences saying the same things in different ways. So I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. It says celebrants who have a personal religious belief who can create semi-religious ceremonies for those who want some inclusion but do not want a heavily religious ceremony by a religious leader. You get what I'm saying. I'm gonna be an alternative celebrant. Celebrants are alternative people who live what is deemed to be an alternative lifestyle, such as goth, rockabilly, steampunk, metal, hippie, punk, mod, or any other subculture / interest. Alternative celebrants create non-traditional ceremonies which draw influence on a lifestyle for their content. So I'm gonna be an alternative celebrant. I'm gonna be a lifestyle celebrant. Sometimes categorized as alternative celebrants, lifestyle celebrants are celebrants who have personal experience and a knowledge of a lifestyle, such as a celebrant who creates ceremonies for those within the fetish community or naturists. Now I understand why I would want to be a lifestyle celebrant. I want to be a bilingual and multilingual celebrant. A celebrant who speaks two or more languages. I want to be a signing celebrant. Celebrants who can deliver sections or an entire ceremony using sign language. I want to be an LGBTQI+ celebrant. Celebrants are members of the LGBTQI+ community, specifically requested by other members of the community for their knowledge and experience of creating ceremonies with a specified theme or content. Everybody has a choice of which celebrant they use, and sometimes people are more likely to be drawn to somebody who understands their requirements through personal experience. We also aren't stating those within the LGBTQI+ community only want a celebrant who's also part of that community, but if this is what people require, there are celebrants available for them. I want to be a drag queen celebrant. Celebrants who do perform ceremonies in drag. I want to be a vegan celebrant. Veganism is a lifestyle, not just dietary requirements. Some fellow vegans do request vegan celebrants who understand what is required to be one of their ceremony suppliers. I feel like I can connect with all kinds of people. I want to be a theatrical performance celebrant. Celebrants who specialize in theatrical ceremonies and can sing, play a specified musical instrument, and create a ceremony to be delivered with a theatrical or performance inclusion. I want to be a wedding host celebrant. Celebrants who are also able to offer the additional service of entertainment during the wedding reception. Cosplay geek and nerd celebrants. Cosplay geek and nerd celebrants, as many refer to themselves as being, are celebrants who have a detailed knowledge of gaming, films, cosplay, sci-fi, and other interests, enabling them to create unique ceremonies for like-minded clients who want to include these things within their ceremony. I want to be a historical/reenactment celebrant. Celebrants who create ceremonies with historical themes/content such as medieval, Viking, LARPing, or reenactment, or an era, or an event, ERA. Wearing appropriate clothing is a requirement, as is having experience of creating these ceremonies. I want to be a specializing celebrant. Some celebrants specialize in certain ritual ceremony types or ceremony themes. Celebrants specializing in hand fasting, green burials, funerals for children, other areas of specializing celebrants. They focus on mainly creating ceremonies and what they specialize in. Celebrants also with a specific knowledge and experience of creating ceremonies, acknowledging and celebrating a specific culture. I want to be a wedding celebrant. Simply put, a wedding celebrant is a person who performs and officiates formal ceremonies. Although they are commonly seen in weddings, they can also conduct other ceremonies like vow renewals, baby naming, and funeral rites. I want to be a funeral celebrant. A funeral celebrant or funeral officiant is a qualified person usually from a non-clergy background who officiates funeral services. Funeral celebrants typically help organize, conduct funerals, supporting the bereaved family every step of the way with the aim of celebrating the life of the person who has died. So, I'm not a fan of funerals, but I have to go to them. It's just a part of my calling. Some parts of my calling are not easy at all. Because I'm going to have to be in places that are considered less than ideal by polite society. But I cannot let people who don't understand my calling to prevent me from doing it. So, I'm going to be an officiant, one who performs official duties at a ceremony, so that's going to be me. So, I have to do ceremonies, you know, civil ceremonies, as well. Statutory ceremonies. Yeah, so that's stuff I'll be doing. As for baptisms, I feel like as long as it's not done in a cult kind of way, then I say live and let live, so I don't mind doing those type of baptisms, you know what I mean? But these are all the things I'm called to do. Now you fully understand all the reasons why I very rarely date and very rarely have sex. S-E-X.